A Paramount Pictures production. On the roof of the Adams family mansion, bald white-faced Uncle Fester howls into the night air. The huge moon shines brightly behind him. Wolves cry out in reply to Fester's call.
Come, sorrow, we welcome thee. Let us join in grief, rejoice in despair, and honor the fortunate dead.
Dearly beloved,
Wednesday, Pugsley and their grandma sit by a shallow grave. They bury a shoebox with a live cat inside. The Adams butler, Lurch, plays on a church organ inside the dimly lit mansion. In the living room, Gomez Adams arm wrestles with Thing, the dismembered hand, grimacing with the effort, as Morticia, his long dark-haired wife, calmly knits on a sofa. Gomez cries out as he forces Thing's hand over winning the game. Thing thumps the table in frustration.
Gomez.
Cara mia.
Marvelous news. I'm going to have a baby. Right now.
Thing pushes hospital doors open and scurries along its fingers through the hall, leading Gomez and Morticia on a gurney.
Nurse, how close are the contractions?
Every 15 seconds, doctor.
Are you in unbearable pain? Is it inhuman? My darling, is it torture?
Oui.
And then Mommy kissed Daddy, and the angel told the stork, and the stork flew down from heaven and left a diamond under a leaf in the cabbage patch, and the diamond turned into a baby.
Our parents are having a baby, too.
They had sex.
Push, Mrs. Adams. Forceps.
Forceps.
Thing holds the forceps. The nurse flings him into the next theater, where he smacks a newborn baby on the bum.
Mrs. Adams, would you like anesthesia?
No, thank you. But do ask the children.
Cara mia.
Mon cher.
Mrs. Adams, the baby?
Pardon?
It's a boy.
It's a girl.
Go ahead!
What news?
Father, what is it?
It's an Adams.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Adams Family Values. Under a cold grey sky sits the twisted form of the Adams Mansion. The gates open as the Adams sedan drives up to the house. Thing performs tricks on the roller skates, rolling up the hallway and up the wooden wall panelling. It spins on the rear wheel, flipping back and forth, before pushing the skate away and scurrying up to Gomez and Morticia, who climb the stairs carrying their new baby.
My dearest, I hope you like it.
Thing leads the way. They stop by a wooden door. Thing pushes it open. Inside is a nursery decorated with images of scary animals and mobiles made of knives.
Oh, Gomez, it's dark, it's depressing, it's desolate.
It says toddler.
It's a dream. The Adams cradle.
The baby has a thin moustache, exactly like his father. Morticia places a stuffed baby bear in the child's cradle to soothe him.
Welcome home, my son.
That's not true.
It is so. Everyone knows it. When you have a new baby, one of the other children has to die.
Really?
It's a tradition. One of us has to go.
Which one?
Well, they only need one boy.
Pugsley pauses before continuing to saw the banisters.
He has my father's eyes.
Gomez, take those out of his mouth.
It's good.
baby in the house. It's about time. Hey, kiddo.
The baby fires a flaming arrow upwards.
Did you see that?
Wednesday twists off her doll's head and hands it to Pugsley.
He's a real devil.
Nighttime. Wednesday and Pugsley are on the roof with the baby.
Pugsley, the baby weighs 10 pounds. The cannonball weighs 20 pounds. Which will hit the stone walkway first?
I'm still on fractions.
Which do you think?
The cannonball?
Very good. But which one will bounce?
The baby?
There's only one way to find out. Ready? One, two, three.
What a glorious evening.
Rain.
Gomez opens the bedroom window as the baby drops into his arms. He turns to Morticia, who sits at the dressing table.
Cara mia!
Oh dear.
The bowling ball hits Lurch on the head, who is spraying weeds below.
Children, why do you hate the baby?
We don't hate him. We just want to play with him.
Especially his head.
Children, do you think we love the baby more than we love you?
Yes.
Do you think that when a new baby arrives, one of the other children has to die?
Yes.
Well, that's just not true. Not anymore.
It's just sibling rivalry. Gomez, do you remember what we were like? I hated you.
I despised you.
I choked him until he lost consciousness and had to be put on a respirator.
I tied him to a tree and pulled out four of his permanent teeth.
When he was asleep, I opened his skull and removed his brains.
You did?
A brother! Brother!
Gomez flips Fester over and throws a series of knives at his upside-down body. They hit, pinning Fester upside-down torso to the wall.
Children, you see?
In bed, Fester reads a book titled Strange Men and the Women Who Avoid Them. He puts the book down, seemingly shocked. He places it on the bedside table and dims the lamp. Pugsley and Wednesday are in the loft with a guillotine.
Death to the enemies of the people of the Republic. Hurrah! Justice is served. Bring forward the evil one.
Having sliced a melon in half, Wednesday prepares the guillotine once again as Pugsley wheels in the baby strapped to a chair. He unties the child and holds him up.
Betrayed the people of France. You are evil incarnate. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Guilty, by your own admission. The sentence is death. Executioner, place her on the block.
Smiling, Pugsley positions the infant on the block. His head peeks through the hole, staring upwards at the sharp blade.
One. Two.
The baby lifts a hand and stops the blade as it descends.
Woe to the Republic.
Look at you. Midnight. Moonlight. Surrounded by death.
It's been too long.
Do it! Hold him still! You missed!
Gomez leans in to kiss his wife, but is stopped by noises from the house.
One house, three children. So many windows.
My darling, it's you I'm worried about. The stress, all this squabbling.
Oh, I'll be fine. I'm just like any modern woman, trying to have it all. A loving husband, a family. It's just I wish I had more time to seek out the dark forces and join their hellish crusade. That's all.
You can, you shall, so it must be.
But how?
Children, as your new nanny, I know that we're all concerned about the environment. So, this morning, let's discuss how to prevent forest fires. prevent them.
All right, children. I've had it up to here. Now you just answer one simple question. Where is that baby?
Which part?
Hello, kiddies. I'm Polly the Puppet. What shall we do today? I know. Let's all clean our rooms.
Hello, Polly. I'll clean my room in exchange for your immortal soul.
Wednesday scares all the nannies away. Lurch opens the front door to a young blonde lady in a white dress.
Hi, Adam's residence.
Ooh, it's old. And big. Lurch.
Hi. Hi, I'm Debbie Jelinski from the agency.
The agency? But they claim no one else was available. They suggested a Doberman.
Surprise. I've been out of town. Are you the mom?
I am Mrs. Adams.
I love your dress. It's so tight.
Thank you. Gomez. I believe we may have a new nanny. Miss Jelinski.
Deb. Isn't he a lady killer?
Acquitted.
I can show you all my references so you know I'm not a homicidal maniac.
Of course you're not.
You're too young. Welcome to our home. There's a belfry, a swamp, and the dungeon down below.
Cable?
Of course. Cappy.
Festus stares down excitedly from above.
Oh, is that the little critter?
Oh, no. This is our baby.
He's adorable. He's perfect. What's his name?
It was Agony. We went through all the books, all the usual baby names.
Lucifer.
Benito.
Mao.
And then we came to our senses. Something simple. Something a child could live with.
Pubert.
Pubert. I like it. It's filthy. May I?
Your dress, is it flammable?
You've had your shots. Measles, mumps, rabies.
Debbie nods to the Adams. Gomez gingerly passes Pubert over.
Oh, I just adore little babies. I just want to grab them and squeeze them till there's not a breath left in their tiny little bodies. Hello, Pubert. I love you.
The children approach a Cabbage Patch doll with blowtorches. There's a knock at the door.
Children, this is Miss Jelinski, our new nanny. What do we say?
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Look at you. All cooped up in this house with a new baby. That's not easy, is it?
No.
Why, I bet sometimes you wish it was still just the two of you.
Or less.
Well, don't you worry. Everything's gonna be just fine.
Not that.
Think. Stop that.
He likes you.
Thing wriggles on Debbie's shoulder. She takes one of its fingers and kisses it tenderly.
I'm good with my hands. What a wonderful family. Although, there's one fella I haven't met yet. Hi there, mister. Your nephew?
My brother.
No.
Festa, come out here. He's very shy. Festa, this is Miss Jelinski, our new nanny.
Hello, Fester. These Adams men, where do you find them?
It has to be damp.
I can't wait. I'll start first thing tomorrow.
Gomez catches Pubert again.
Why not tonight?
He glares up at the children, who stare down from high above. Debbie lies back, fully clothed in her bed.
Good night, Debbie.
Good night!
Scream if you need anything.
So we've hired Miss Jelinski.
She's a gem, don't you think?
She's perfect!
Oh, Fester, I'm such a lucky man. I hope that someday you'll know the indescribable joy of having children and of paying someone else to raise them.
But first, when I have to get married.
Oh, but you're just a boy. There's plenty of time. You'll meet someone very special. Someone who won't press charges.
Oh, I'd like that.
You rascal. Oh,
What's this?
Gomez fishes out a men's magazine out of Festa's sheets.
Mom.
Lightning flashes above the Gomez house. Debbie watches TV in bed whilst eating chocolates.
Tonight on America's Most Disgusting Unsolved Crimes, we investigate the case of Ursula, Carmen, and Nadine. Three very different women with one thing in common. Murder! And they're all the same woman. She's known by the police as a black widow. She mates, and she kills. She investigates wealthy men, finding the richest, loneliest bachelors, gaining their trust and their love. And finally, she marries them. Then, on the wedding night, she kills them. The deaths appear accidental, and after the funeral, she disappears, cash in hand. But the money never lasts, and soon the black widow is hungry again. Hungry for cash, hungry for love. A mistress of disguise, she has eluded the authorities for years. Who is she? And what seemingly innocent pose will she next assume? All we can say is, bachelors beware.
Debbie smiles as her face is plastered all over the show. Pages from Forbes and other financial magazines are cut out. Each has Festa on the cover. The rain beats down on the old wooden house. Morning. The sky is once again overcast. Pubert crawls to the bottom of the grand wooden staircase. An anvil is suspended above. Pugsley releases the rope. The anvil hurtles towards Pubert's head. Debbie reaches down and picks up the child before the anvil crashes through the floor.
We'll be going out for most of the morning. All the important numbers, police, fire department, morgue.
Festa, come along.
Goodbye, Festa.
Say goodbye to Debbie.
Have fun.
Debbie trawls through old papers.
Festa Adams. My, my. Stocks and bonds. Deeds. Gold bullion?
She hears a squeak. A suit of armour stands in the corner of the room. She turns back to the papers.
Treasury bills, IRAs.
A creak outside distracts her again.
What a strange old house. So drafty. It's really no place for children.
Wednesday is leaning against the wall, painted the same as the wallpaper and panelling.
Would you like to come?
Are you really a nanny?
What a question.
Why did you come here?
Why, to take care of you. All of you.
Especially my uncle.
Wednesday turns and leaves, not taking her eyes off Debbie.
I shouldn't be telling you this. They swore me to secrecy. The little angels. But they want to go. It's all they talked about all morning. They're just afraid to ask you. They're afraid you'll think that they don't love you. The poor things. It is a bizarre request.
It's horrifying.
They had their hearts set on it. I knew you'd want to know as concerned, caring parents. Oh, Gomez, what should we do?
How can we say no?
Don't even mention it to them. Just do it. I'm sure they'll deny everything. But they want to go. God love them.
Summer camp.
The sedan passes under a sign that reads Camp Chippewa.
Camp Chippewa. How charming.
What's a Chippewa?
It's an old Indian word.
It means orphan.
Fresh air. The scent of pine.
Wednesday. Look at all the other children. Their freckles, their bright little eyes, their eager, friendly smiles. Help them.
Hi, I'm Amanda Buckman. Why are you dressed like that?
Like what?
Like you're going to a funeral. Why are you dressed like somebody died?
Wait.
Hi, Don Buckman. Isn't this place something else? Very exclusive.
Really?
Oh yeah, kid has to be extra special to get in here. Gifted. Exceptional. Our Amanda's already skipped two grades. How about your boy?
Probation.
We just love Chippewa. Amanda couldn't wait. It's all she talked about. She's got a whole new wardrobe. And this little lady?
Oh, Wednesday's at that very special age when a girl has only one thing on her mind.
Boys.
Homicide.
Attention! Hey, listen up, everybody! I'm Gary Granger.
And I'm Becky Martin Granger.
We're the honors and directors here at Camp Chippewa, America's foremost facility for privileged young adults.
And we're all here to learn, to grow, and to just plain have fun!
Because that's what being privileged is all about!
Wednesday uncorks a bottle of poison and brings it to her lips. Wholesome all-American boys and girls greet each other.
Mom, I don't think I like it here.
Oh, will you stop already? Do you know how dirty you are already?
Selma, please leave him alone.
He's got a smudge right there. Oh, stop it, Joel, please. Now stand up straight, please.
This is why he's sick all the time.
Oh, Mel, don't start with me on that, please.
This is it. You did this. This is nothing.
Joel stares transfixed at Wednesday. Debbie reads to Pubert.
Everyone at the ball turned and stared at Cinderella. Who is that beautiful woman, everyone asked. Even Prince Charming noticed the new arrival. Who are you, he asked Cinderella.
She hears Fester listening in the doorway.
My name is Cinderella, she said to the prince. Could you tell me, who is that man over by the punch bowl, that fascinating man? That oddly sensual man? That man who makes me quiver under my bodice? That bald man?
Fester can't take any more and runs to Gomez, who is throwing darts at a board held by Lurch.
She's driving me wild!
Who? Debbie! Debbie, even the sound of her name. Debbie. Isn't it beautiful? She makes me think of vinyl. Chemicals.
Truly, Fester, has it finally happened at long last?
I don't know. I think so. All these years, I've watched you, Morticia, through windows, doorways, keyholes. I've been so happy for you. But I have to confess, I've been jealous, too. I've dreamed that sometime maybe there might be someone for me.
There's things.
I know. But I want more. Legs, elbows, head.
Two legs?
Dare I ask Debbie to dinner? What if she says no? What if she says yes? Oh, Gomez, if I asked her, would you come? You and Morticia.
Of course.
Gomez hurls the last dart over his shoulder. It flies into Lurch's throat. He swallows hard, back at Camp Chippewa.
Life-saving! Now, I know we're all top-notch little swimmers, but now we get to show our stuff and earn those certificates! Hey, how about a first little pair of life-saving buddies? Amanda, Wednesday.
Is that your bathing suit? Is that your overbite?
Now, one of you will be the drowning victim, and the other one gets to be our lifesaver.
I'll be the victim.
All your life.
I'm going to be an actress.
Bravo! Now, Amanda, jump in. Swim out a few yards and start drowning.
She sinks.
I can't swim.
Bubbles float to the surface. A string orchestra made up of ladies perform in a restaurant formed in a cavern. Fester, Debbie, Gomez and Morticia sit around a circular table.
Our favorite bistro. We've been coming here for years.
Of course, it has been redone.
Oh, it's just lovely. Isn't it, Fester?
Fester!
Fester sits with a bread roll in his mouth. He offers it to Debbie.
It's a quaint French custom, sharing half-eaten bread.
Fester is truly continental. He spent many years abroad.
He speaks 12 languages. Fluently.
I could tell. You know, when I first saw him, I thought he was from Europe.
You did?
It's true.
But I took a bath.
Debbie and Morticia are in the ladies' room, applying makeup.
Fester's really a wonderful man. He's just terribly shy.
Really, I just can't tell. Does he like me at all?
Of course he does. He vomited.
That's true. Does he always do that with women he likes?
Oh, no. Just you.
Do you think she minded him?
Of course not. She adores you.
I'm making such a mess of things. Gomez, how do you do it? How can I be like you? How can I be suave?
Woo her. Admire her. Make her feel like she's the most sublime creature on earth.
Yes, that's it.
We're back. Nose is powdered.
Perfection achieved. We are the luckiest brothers on earth. We are unworthy of such splendor, undeserving of such radiance.
Gomez nods for Fester to say something.
Oh, that's right. We should have ugly girls.
Gomez looks up as the violin solo begins. He takes off his jacket, revealing a smart waistcoat and crisp white shirt. Fixing his eyes on his wife, he approaches her and makes a small bow before offering his hand. He guides Morticia onto the dance floor. Morticia circles Gomez, her arms raised with his. Her arm still outstretched, Gomez kisses Morticia's hand up to her neck and down to the other arm. She brings her hand up to hold him. Gomez spins Morticia wildly. He leads her in a tango, gracefully moving them across the dance floor. Facing away from each other, Morticia seizes the chance to gently stroke the face of a man in uniform. Gomez catches her and spins Morticia onto the dance floor. She rotates at incredible speed, setting the floor on fire as she moves. Gomez catches her at the other side. Fester tries to entertain Debbie by placing breadsticks up his nose. She smiles encouragingly. The Adams continue dancing, their hands together as the spectators look on. As Gomez lights a lady's cigarette, Morticia pulls him back. He backflips to the other side, whipping off a red tablecloth from a nearby table. Flinging it around his body like a matador, he entices Morticia, who responds, picking up two clamshells and using them as castanets. She picks up a dinner knife and flings it to Gomez. He catches it in his teeth. They advance on each other and dance in a flurry of quick foot movements. Debbie acts coy with Fester, who still messes around with the breadsticks. The Adams finish their dance with Morticia on the floor. Gomez spins her with one hand, then sweeps it into his arms and bends her over for a kiss. A row of champagne bottles pop open, circling the dance floor as the couple embrace. The crowd stand and applaud. At the camp, ghost stories are being told by torchlight.
The ghost said, "And I will haunt you forever." Ah! Wednesday, you have to continue the ghost story.
This is dumb.
Well, if you can't do it.
And so the next night, the ghost returned to the haunted cabin. And he said to the campers, "None of you really believe in me. So I'll have to prove my power." And the next morning, when the campers woke up, all of their old noses had grown back.
Fester walks Debbie through the Adams Cemetery. They nervously glance at one another. Debbie backs onto a gravestone as an animal cries out in the darkness.
Fester, how you must hate me.
What?
Here you are, a debonair man of the world. How I must bore you.
Oh, never!
Fester, before we go any further, I have a confession. Something I must tell you. I'm a virgin.
You are?
Yes.
What's that?
It's someone who's never experienced physical love.
Oh, you mean with another person? Then, Debbie, I have a confession to make as well. I want to.
You? You?
Yes.
But with your looks, your charm, women must follow you everywhere.
Store detectives.
Oh, Fester, I always dreamed of meeting someone untouched, someone pure, someone just like you.
You'll meet him.
And I dreamed that when I met him that we would wait until our wedding night to give ourselves to one another, to make the ultimate sacrifice.
A goat?
Until now, I thought it was impossible. But Fester Adams, I love you.
You do.
Please, be brutally honest. I have to know how you feel about me.
I love you. I worship you. I'd do anything for you. I'd pay.
Fester!
Debbie!
They sit on a gravestone hugging. Fester leans back into Debbie's arms.
Look at him.
So peaceful.
This evening as I watched Fester and Debbie, I kept my fingers crossed. I hoped.
I prayed.
Let them fall in love.
Let them know happiness.
Let them adopt.
Gomez! Morticia! Great news! Something impossible. A miracle.
The rash!
It's gone.
I'm engaged.
Debbie sidles up to Fester and shows off a large diamond ring on her finger.
That ring?
It was our mother's. She was buried with it.
Debbie smiles, holding a dirty shovel. Wednesday wakes at camp, sensing something is wrong. Next morning.
Mail call! Adams!
Barkley, Kesselman, Calloway, Dexter, Donman, Edwards, Evans, Finley, Fisher, Framingham.
Oh, no.
Gidley?
What is it? Harper? This is unspeakable.
Is something wrong, Wednesday? Bad news?
This is the worst thing that has ever happened in the history of human events. Uncle Fester is getting married.
A wedding? But that's great news!
To whom? The nanny.
Get out of the cabin! I mean, I'd kill myself! The help?
I'm sure she's a very nice lady.
I think that's disgusting. I think their whole family's like some weird medical experiment. I think they're like circus people.
What did you say?
Campers!
Group hug!
The girls all cuddle around the Grangers and beam up at the Adams children.
Wednesday. Pugsley. Will a hug hurt us?
We don't hug.
Oh, they're just shy.
We're not shy. We're contagious.
I'm sensing some friction here. Something not quite Chippewa.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, no problemo. All they need are good friends, good fun, and a little time in the Harmony Hut.
A small hut sits in the middle of the woods.
How long do we have to stay in here? Until we crack.
Have fun.
Joel is pushed inside with the Adams.
What are you in for?
I wouldn't go horseback riding.
That's all.
And I wouldn't make a birdhouse.
Why not?
I just wanted to read.
Not on my time, Four Eyes!
Joel screams, seeing the schmaltzy posters adorning the hut wall, including Michael Jackson. At night, they run to the camp fence, dressed all in black.
Hurry up! I'm coming! Wait! Who's there?
Be careful! Tetanus!
saw them sneak out.
Children, what do you think you're doing?
We have to see our family. It's very important.
More important than a summer of fun? More important than making new friends? More important than sharing?
And Joel Glicker, I'm surprised at you.
I have to get out of here. I have allergies.
Oh, you're allergic to sunshine and archery and crafts?
Yes.
I think they should be punished. Punish!
Punish! Punish! Punish! Punish! Punish!
No!
Punish.
No! We are not here to punish. We are here to inspire.
Campers, do you know what I think our little ninja friends here need? Do you know what just might turn their sad and potentially wasted little lives right on around?
What?
Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Oh, Lord, kumbaya.
At the Adams house, an engagement party is underway.
Now, Debbie, have you met everyone?
Morticia!
Margaret, this is our bride-to-be.
Welcome to our family. I can't tell you what it's meant to me, joining the Adams clan. Have you met my husband, Cousin It?
Cousin It?
We've been so happy. And just as little puberty arrived, we were blessed with our own little bundle of joy.
In Margaret's pram sits a small baby. It's hidden under a mass of hair with only a dummy visible.
What?
Oh, I didn't say anything.
No, that's the baby's nickname. What? From the obstetrician.
Isn't he precious?
We've had offers.
For he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny.
You guys are the best bunch of friends a fellow could hope for. What a party!
And now, for the pièce de résistance!
Lurch wheels in a huge cake.
Ta-da!
Nothing happens. Gomez walks towards the cake.
Ta-da!
Fester looks a little confused. Gomez climbs the cake and lifts the top tier. He looks in as smoke rises from inside.
That poor girl, Lurch, was she in there before you baked?
Lurch looks downcast as the stag party mutter under their breath. Gomez replaces the cake tier.
C'est la vie!
Are you really allergic?
Uh-huh. To almost everything.
No, you're not.
I'm too. I can't have dairy products or wear wool or drink fluoridated water. Do you know what happens if my mom uses a fabric softener?
What?
I die.
Wednesday shuffles closer to Joel as they stare out at the lake. Later, they meet in the camp medical bay.
Well, I got your message inside my cutlet.
I need to ask you something.
What?
Do you believe in the existence of evil?
Well, did you meet my mom?
My Uncle Fester is about to get married to this woman in a white uniform.
A radiologist.
A nanny. But I have to go to the wedding. I have a pass. Do you want to come?
You mean like on a date?
No.
I'd love to.
The guests arrive for the nighttime wedding. They sit on chairs among the gravestones while Lurch plays the organ. Wednesday shuffles up the aisle, dropping dead flowers. Joel grins up at her. Pugsley follows with Thing on a velvet cushion. Its fingers clasp the wedding ring. Lurch changes tunes, announcing Debbie's arrival. Wearing a white wedding dress and veil, Debbie stands out among the darkly dressed wedding guests. She walks up the front where Fester waits. Cousin It is the master of ceremonies, his long hair reaching the ground and covering his entire body. He begins to talk.
I, Fester Adams, do hereby declare my unending love. I will worship you forever. I will devote my every waking moment to your happiness alone. Henceforth, I am your eternal and helpless slave.
Nice. Ditto.
The guests cheer as the married couple exit the house. Lurch pulls up in the sedan. Cans are tied to the back, as is a corpse.
You're going to have a wonderful life together.
Yes, I am.
Come, darling, let's see who's the next happy bride.
Debbie throws the bouquet. A crowd of women battle for the flowers. Wednesday is caught in the middle. She pushes them off and is left holding the bouquet.
Now you have to get married.
It's not binding.
Tramp.
The couple climb into the back of the car. They're waved off as the sedan pulls away. Daytime. Fester sits in a foamy bath in a hotel by the beach.
The key ingredient to a successful Hawaiian honeymoon is romantic music. I ordered this cassette from Time Life. 5,000 of the world's most romantic melodies.
It's superb. What do you call this?
Number 438. So, do you like romantic living?
I do, so far.
I love romantic living. Oh, Fester, how much do you love me?
With all my soul.
Would you do anything for me?
Anything.
Would you die for me?
Yes!
Promise.
Debbie throws the stereo into the bath. Sparks fly and the bathroom bulbs blow. Debbie smiles as Fester screams in the bath. The room is in darkness.
Pumpkin.
Muffin.
Fester grins unharmed. A lit bulb is in his mouth. He enters the bedroom. Debbie is on the bed.
Darling, I know you're nervous. So am I.
I'm not nervous. I'm upset.
Because of the bathtub. That was an accident.
I know.
I'm fine.
I know.
Don't give it another thought. Don't be frightened. This is as new to me as it is to you.
Have you really never had sex?
Never.
Well, then, how do you know we're not having it right now?
Sweetheart, we'll be just like Gomez and Morticia.
Pretend we're at home in my room. Granny down the hallway, Lurch by the door.
Oh, my God.
Please, what is it? What do you need?
Only you, my dearest.
Really?
Fester, I'm ready. Just one thing.
Gomez told me, no giggling.
And?
No hand puppets.
And?
Wow.
After we've made love, you can never see your family again.
What?
Otherwise, I could never really enjoy myself. I could never give myself completely.
Unless I never see my family again.
Yes, if I picture them in our lives, I could never achieve, you know.
Never?
Don't you love me?
Of course.
Don't you want me?
Yes.
Never.
Fester lies back on the bed, a joyous look on his face. Gomez prepares a drink of egg, vodka, and Tabasco sauce.
It's so odd we haven't heard from Fester and Debbie.
It's been almost a week, hasn't it, little fellow? Look at him. Too much fun at that reception.
Pubit is wearing dark sunglasses. Gomez tips the concoction into a baby bottle and shakes it.
Here are the pup.
The baby takes the bottle. At camp, Amanda is attending archery classes.
Excellent, Amanda!
Thank you.
Next!
Joel takes the bow. Wednesday reads a letter.
Dear Wednesday and Pugsley, I love you dearly, but I can never see you again.
Clicker, go!
Good try.
Pugsley takes his turn.
When you are grown up and very lonely, you will understand. Love, Uncle Fester. He's a dead man.
Go!
Pugsley fires into the air. A bird cries out and falls to the ground.
It's an American bald eagle.
But aren't they extinct?
They are now.
Mrs. Adams?
Yes?
Your hearse, ma'am. Where's the body?
He's right there.
But he's alive.
Tell me about it.
Fester ambles down the airplane steps, holding the luggage.
Fester,
uh-huh.
We may be together for a while.
All our lives, Caramia.
What?
Mon cher.
Speak English.
Pumpkin.
And if I have to be seen with you, we need to make some changes.
Changes?
They get into Debbie's car and drive away. Fester gingerly touches the strawberry blonde bowl-shaped wig on his head. Debbie has also dressed him in a woolly jumper and white suit.
Be careful, it's a credenza! These are beautiful things, they're from catalogs!
Fester, get over here!
He scurries over to Debbie. They are moving into a rather grand house.
It itches.
Don't touch it, not until the scab falls off.
Pumpkin, do you think these clothes are really me?
Of course not, that's the point.
Ma'am, where do you want this thing?
The second floor boudoir, and be careful.
I'm her husband.
Fester!
Give me a kiss.
Give me a 20. Watch it!
That's a Queen Anne chandelier!
Hawaii is wonderful. I wish you were here, and I can never see you again. P.S. Debbie says hi. I don't understand. For weeks, not a word, and now this.
Darling, come to bed. He can't be serious.
Have I done something, said something? Why does my brother despise me?
He adores you.
I'd do anything for him. At his request, I would rip out my eyes. At his command, I would crawl on my belly through hot coals and broken glass.
Why wait?
Has Fester gone mad?
This is all just some sort of phase. Post-honeymoon malaise. It's very common. Do you remember our honeymoon?
That glorious cruise.
No calls.
No care.
No survivors.
Cara mia.
So, you still desire me after all these years? The old ball and chain.
Forever!
I'll get them.
Heads up, campers! Jamboree's only 2 weeks away, and you know what that means. Clean cabins.
Creating with clay.
And canoes, canoes, canoes.
So we better get cracking, huh? Because it's going to be one.
Look at this. I got them. Schizos and serial killers. I have almost the whole series. I'm only missing Jack the Ripper and that Zodiac guy. But look, the Black Widow.
It might be Debbie.
At least 3 rich husbands, all dead.
I'll trade you.
For what?
Pugsley fishes out a bubblegum card.
Amy Fisher.
Each year, we conclude our summer with a very special presentation. Book, music, and lyrics by...
Gary Granger!
And this year, the old bean has come up with something pretty exciting. My own personal salute to the first Thanksgiving. Now, we have thought long and hard about choosing just the right little actress for the leading role of Sarah Miller, our beautiful and kindly pilgrim lady. And we have selected Amanda Beckman! And in the roles of her pilgrim pals, Lily, Jennifer, Tiffany, Missy, Michelle, and Melissa!
But of course, not everyone can be a star. Let's not forget our cheery little Chippewas, Mordecai, Yang, Esther, Consuela, Irwin, and, I'm still not sure just how to pronounce this. Jamal? Whatever. And as their leader in the secondary but still compellingly written role of Pocahontas, guess who we have in mind? Our own little brunette outcast, Wednesday Adams.
Wednesday appears, horrified. Morticia rings Debbie's doorbell. A maid answers.
We want to see Debbie and Fester.
Miss Debbie!
Deborah!
Gomez, where are we?
It looks familiar. Of course, the gates of hell.
Welcome to my home.
Might we see my brother?
No, he doesn't want to see you, any of you, or that. Why not? Because he's in love. He's wrapped in a gossamer blanket of ecstasy, and he hates your guts.
But why?
Because you flaunted yourselves, your great love affair. You kept him a child. I've made him a man.
Let me hear this from his own lips.
His lips are busy. You want to talk to these people?
Debbie.
Fester is curled in a ball on the second floor. Debbie flaunts herself at him.
Go away! That is not my brother.
Sorry.
You have enslaved him. You have placed Fester under some strange sexual spell. I respect that. But please, may we see him?
Don't even think about it.
You have gone too far. You have married Fester. You have destroyed his spirit. You have taken him from us. All that I could forgive. But, Debbie...
What?
Pastels?
Get out of my house! Hit the road! And if you ever show your faces around here again, I'll have you locked up for trying to visit. Right, Fessy?
Right!
Grandma grins and takes Debbie's hand whilst holding a skull. She starts chanting.
Luxor, Nexor, burst and burn!
What is she doing?
Just a goose. Have a nice day.
The Adams are at a police station.
I demand justice. Someone has married my brother.
No.
She took him to Hawaii.
Get out of here.
They have moved into a large, expensive home where they make love constantly.
I hate when that happens.
Arrest her at once, without delay.
Who?
Debbie, my brother's wife, the temptress of Waikiki.
Who are you? What are you? Who moved the rock?
Officer, you must issue a subpoena. I believe they own...
Gomez, no.
A Buick!
Just leave. Leave quietly. Leave now. Don't make me call Ringling Brothers.
Has the planet gone mad? My brother, passion's hostage. I seek justice. Denied. I shall not submit. I shall conquer. I shall rise. My name is Gomez Adams, and I have seen evil.
Oh.
I have seen horror. I have seen the unholy maggots which feast in the dark recesses of the human soul.
They're at camp.
I have seen all this, officer. But until today, I had never seen you.
Hook 'em, book 'em, cook 'em. Now!
Next in line.
Yes, I'd like to renew my passport, please. I'll be leaving the country very shortly.
Will you be traveling alone?
Yes, I'll be a widow.
The Grangers are choreographing the Thanksgiving dance at the camp.
Happy, happy Turkey Day. Hunger pains will go away. When you hear a pilgrim say it's Happy Turkey Day. Happy, happy Turkey Day. Let's all eat the Indian way. As we're stealing Cape Cod Bay on Happy Turkey Day.
Look at you. Oh, Amanda, you look perfect! You're just the prettiest pilgrim I've ever seen. Gare, come and take a look at this.
Here they are. We caught them by the payphone.
We were calling the FBI.
Their uncle is in trouble. We were running a check.
And you are late for your fittings.
I don't want to be in the pageant.
Don't you want to help me realize my vision?
Your work is puerile and underdramatized. You lack any sense of structure, character, or the Aristotelian unities.
Young lady, I am getting just a tad tired of your attitude problem.
Everyone, campers, I have a wonderful idea. Wednesday and Pugsley and young Mr. Glicker here, well, they have just never quite latched on to the Chippewa spirit. Nor have some of their little comrades. Isn't that sad?
Yes!
Don't we just hate that?
Yes!
Don't we wish they would just die?
Yes!
Oh, no, we don't. But you know what we're going to do with them? We are going to make an example. We are going to show that anyone, no matter how odd or pale or chubby, can still have a darn good time, whether they like it or not.
What are you going to do?
Yes, indeedy, just the ticket. Bambi.
Lassie, come home.
The Little Mermaid.
Stop it.
He's only a child.
Barry loads a VHS.
Don't worry, we're getting out of here.
But it's Disney.
The Sound of Music echoes out from the hut in the woods. The evening draws on with the three kids trapped inside the hut, subjected to viewing more schmaltzy movies. They slowly step out of the hut. Their eyes are empty and heads lowered. Barry and the camp are standing outside.
Well, good evening. Is there anything you'd like to say to everyone?
Yes.
And just what might that be?
I'm not perky. That's for damn sure. But I want to be.
You do?
I want to smile and sing and dance and be Pocahontas in Gary's vision.
Oh, darling, do you really mean it?
Wednesday's lip quivers. The Grangers watch as she slowly struggles to smile. After a great deal of effort, she manages a grin. The camp step back and gasp. Pubert has blonde hair and looks like a normal child. His moustache is gone.
My baby!
Gomez faints. Grandma begins a spell over Pubert.
Lumbar, dishing, pox and dinner, curad, brattle, bone and brine! Bone and brine! While he's stubborn, works and cats.
What are we going to do?
Is it hopeless?
Here it is. Chapter 18, Infant Possessions.
He's possessed?
Warning signs. Severe alterations in appearance and personality. Such alterations can become permanent.
Permanent? Those golden curls.
Those rosy cheeks.
That smile.
These terrifying changes are most often the result of a troubled family life. Separations.
Separations, you mean?
Fester!
Bingo! This kid knows that something's not right around here. Unless Fester comes back, We're talking dimples.
Not in this house.
He could stay this way for years, forever. He could become a lawyer.
I won't listen!
An orthodontist.
The master.
President.
Please, I beg you, take me.
Gomez weeps. The Grangers speak before the camp kids' parents.
Each summer, we take this occasion to celebrate a seminal event in American history.
This year, we depict perhaps the most important day in our shared past, the first Thanksgiving.
A day for maize, the Native American word for corn, a terrific turkey dinner, and brotherhood. So, white meat and dark meat, take it away!
On the stage, the children dance dressed as turkeys and assorted vegetables. The Grangers look joyous as the turkeys leap through the air. A big turkey lumpers up from the backstage. It's Pugsley. Debbie is practicing crying in the mirror. She's wearing a black veil.
Thank you. It was a senseless tragedy.
She flings back the veil and checks her makeup. Turning to her bed, she glances up at a clock. She winds the timer on another clock attached to sticks of dynamite. She sets it for 6:30 and pushes the timer. She places the lid on the bomb. It's the top of a present, fixed with a bow.
Angel, I'm going out for just a minute. I forgot the champagne.
Our 3-week anniversary. I'll go.
No, no. You're working hard enough. I'll just put your present on the table. Don't peek.
Oh, please, please. What is it? Is it string?
You never know.
Is it a dog toy?
Just you wait.
Thing is outside.
It's a bomb.
What?
Oh, I know. Wait for my birthday.
Fester, let me look at you. I want to remember you just this way.
What do you mean?
Rich, will you miss me?
But you'll be right back, won't you?
Of course.
She heads out carrying a suitcase. Fester swings about and trots through the house.
I am so glad we invited the Chippewas to join us for this holiday meal. Remember, these savages are our guests. We must not be surprised at any of their strange customs. After all, they have not had our advantages, such as fine schools, libraries full of books, shampoo. How? I am Pocahontas, a Chippewa maiden.
An Indian.
Enough said.
And I am Running Bear, betrothed to Pocahontas. In the play.
$20,000 for summer camp. He's Mr. Woo-Woo.
We have brought a special gift for this holiday feast.
Pugsley, in the turkey costume, waddles up.
I am a turkey. Kill me. What a thoughtful gift. Why, you are as civilized as we, except we wear shoes and have last names. Welcome to our table, our new primitive friends. Thank you, Sarah Miller. You are the most beautiful person I've ever seen. Your hair is the color of the sun. Your skin is like fresh milk. And everyone loves you. Stop! sit. Wait. What? We cannot break bread with you.
Huh? Becky, what's going on?
Wednesday!
You have taken the land which is rightfully ours. Years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. We will sell our bracelets by the roadsides. You will play golf and enjoy hot hors d'oeuvres. My people will have pain and degradation. Your people will have stick shifts. The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims, especially Sarah Miller.
Gary, she's changing the words.
And for all these reasons, I've decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground.
Joel leads the camp rejects, all dressed as Indians, in a battle cry. Two slide down cables onto the stage. Others appear behind the scenery, brandishing flaming torches.
Children, cats are out! You're destroying my tents!
They set fire to the fake village, firing flaming arrows into the thatched roofs.
He's not a team player.
Well, he's a special child, but he needs friends.
He needs friends like this?
Joel unclasped the seat, sending his parents flying back. Amanda is tied to a post on the stage by the Adams, an apple in her mouth. Arrows are fired at the Grangers, who duck in time. Joel catapults a camper into the lake. Pies are set on tennis racket catapults. Gasoline is poured on logs beneath Amanda.
I beg your pardon.
The pies hit her parents in the face. A child in an electric wheelchair wraps rope around Amanda. She screams, the noise muffled by an apple in her mouth. Wednesday turns and slowly walks towards her. Reaching behind her head, she sparks a match and holds it up, a small smile on her face. Some Indians sit at the stage table watching as two other Indians turn the Grangers on a spit. A fire burns beneath them. Joel paddles a canoe across the lake. Wednesday sits at the front. Debbie is drinking at a bar with sailors.
Macho, macho man,
my muscle.
I've got to be a macho man. Macho, macho man,
macho, macho man.
I've got to be a macho.
Hey,
hey.
Hey!
Wait, what time is it, Jorge?
6:25.
Oops, gotta go.
No,
wait here.
It's my anniversary. I'll be right back.
Oh, your husband is a very lucky man.
Don't say that.
Hey. Macho, macho man. I got to be a macho man.
Fester sits in the dining room.
Cheers.
Debbie's present sits behind a dish of strangely cooked meat. Debbie pulls up outside the house. Again, she practices crying into the mirror.
But officer, my husband was in that house.
Happy anniversary,
Debbie.
Fester breaks his glass. He goes to get up. Outside, Debbie checks her watch. The house explodes. Fire and debris fly everywhere. Debbie remains unemotional. A charred item lands on her bonnet. Smiling, she gets out of her car and looks at the smouldering building. Fester ambles out of the burning building, holding the tray of meat.
Sweetheart! Did you get the champagne?
Of
free!
She pulls a gun from her purse.
Pokey.
I tried to make it look like an accident. I tried to give you some dignity, but oh no, not you.
What are you saying?
I'm saying I want you dead and I want your money.
But don't shrill off me. Is that a no?
Do I love you? Look at yourself. You're a nightmare. You're the missing link. You shouldn't be married. You should be studied.
You're a big, dumb, weird thing.
No woman in her right mind could love you.
Thing drives Debbie's car into her.
Thing!
Fester climbs in. With the squeal of the wheels, the car roars away. Debbie gets to her feet and fires at the car. Fester screams as Thing turns the wheel into oncoming traffic. Fester tries to help. The car bounces down the road, narrowly missing cars. Thing pushes the brake, stopping the car at a crossing. Once clear, he floors the car and pulls away. Fester drops the cooked meat out of the window. Fire continues to burn at the camp as Wednesday climbs down the outside of the fence. Joel watches her from the campsite.
Come on.
No. I have to go back, for the others.
You're very brave.
And to watch the place burn. You go. Save your uncle.
Joel, I may never see you again.
I know.
There are forces tearing us apart. Gary, Debbie, seventh grade.
I'll never forget you.
You won't?
You're too weird.
We'll always have today. And Chippewa.
And this.
What is it?
Amanda's retainer. Cara mia.
Mon cher.
They kiss through the mesh, then wipe their mouths. Pugsley pulls up driving a van.
Come on!
Joel watches her leave. Debbie drives her second car. The number plate reads, Debbie 2. She races through traffic. She runs over the discarded cooked meat. Morticia reads to Pubert.
We looked. Then we saw him step in on the mat. We looked. And we saw him. The cat in the hat. Are you enjoying this? To think. A child of mine. I know it is wet. And the sun is not sunny. But we can have lots of good fun. It is funny. Oh no. He lives.
Come on! It's Gomez!
Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home, swing low.
My baby is ill,
sweet chariot,
and my husband is dying.
Coming for
oh, Mama,
to carry
what shall I do?
Well, you have a black dress.
Swing low, sweet Gomez!
Fester!
Fester, where is Fester?
He's right here, Moshe.
It's me, Gomez. I've tried to be someone I'm not. I live in shame. And the suburbs. But you belong to Debbie. You're Debbie's love toy. You are Mr. Debbie!
I am an Adams!
Fester!
They embrace. The children arrive.
Uncle Fester!
Children!
You sent us to camp. They made us sing.
Wednesday grudgingly joins Pugsley and Fester in a hug.
My own dear family.
I've missed you all.
Our whole family, together at last. 3 generations. Above ground.
In-laws!
Debbie is in the doorway holding a shotgun. A burst of fire emits from Pubert's crib. The Adams are tied to electric chairs.
I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't enjoy hurting anybody. I don't like guns or bombs or electric chairs. But sometimes people just won't listen. And so I have to use persuasion. And Sly, my parents, Sharon and Dave, generous, doting, or were they? All I ever wanted was a ballerina Barbie in her pretty pink tutu. My birthday. I was 10. And do you know what they got me? Malibu Barbie.
Malibu Barbie.
The nightmare.
The nerve.
That's not what I wanted. That's not who I was. I was a ballerina. Graceful. Delicate. They had to go.
The slide shows a house fire. Pubert's arm raises up from the cot and grabs one of the knives from his mobile. The blade pierces the side of the crib. Pubert begins sawing the wood panels.
My first husband, the heart surgeon. All day long, coronaries, transplants.
What about your need?
Sorry about dinner, Deb. The Pope has a cold.
An axe. That takes me back.
Now escaped, Pubert crawls along the bedroom floor. He knocks the sideboard. A cannonball rolls onto the floor and out of the door.
Husband number 2, the senator. He loved his state. He loved his country.
What about Debbie?
Sorry, Debbie. No Mercedes this year. We have to set an example. Oh, yeah? Set this!
The second husband is run over. Pubert makes his way to the top of the stairs and pulls himself up. The ball rolls in the corridor.
My latest husband. My late husband, Fester.
The fool.
The corpse. And his adorable family. You took me in. You accepted me. But did any of you love me? Really love me?
Hands!
No one raises their hands, which are tied. Pubert slides down the banisters. The ball hits the staircase, jolting Pubert into the air and onto Thing's roller skate.
So I killed. So I maimed. So I destroyed one innocent life after another. Aren't I a human being? Don't I yearn and ache and shop? Don't I deserve love and jewelry?
Debbie heads over to the electric switch. The cannonball drops down the stairs. Pubert hurtles around on a skate. The ball drops through the floorboards onto a boiling pot in Grandma's cellar.
Adieu, mon cher.
Adios, cara mia.
Debbie, let them go. Take me and my money. For what I've done, I deserve to die.
Sorry.
The pot boils, sending the ball into the air. Above, Pubert slips off the skate onto a plank of wood, sticking the other end in the air. The cannonball lands on the plank end, rocketing Pubert up through the glass skylight and high above the Adams house. On a plane overhead, Amanda and her parents sit. Pubert appears in the window and drops out of sight.
Goodbye, everybody. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
She pulls the lever. Pubert hurtles to earth, landing in the attic next to his family. The power surges through the cables towards the chairs. Pubert holds 2 end cables and short circuits the power. It flies back up the cables to the switch. Debbie's lifted off her feet, blue energy coursing through her body. Sparks shower down onto the floor. Her hair stands on end. The Adams family watch as she disintegrates into a mound of ash, leaving just her shoes and a couple of gold credit cards. Pubert giggles. A caption reads, sometime later, Festa walks along with a bundle of presents.
A birthday party! What a treat! I didn't think I might have missed all this. What was I thinking of?
Physical pleasure.
Oh.
Uncle Fester, do you miss Debbie?
Well, sometimes, late at night, I remember how she used to turn to me and say, Jesus, Fester, go back to your room.
Are we late?
Not at all. We're just getting started.
I hope no one minds. We brought along a guest. This is our new nanny. Dementia.
A pasty-faced lady appears. She takes off her hat, revealing a bald head.
Dementia. What a beautiful name.
It means insanity.
My name's Fester. It means to rot.
A toast to the glorious mysteries of life, to all that binds a family as one, to mirth, to merriment, to manslaughter, to dear friends, to new friends.
Fester toasts with dementia.
To youth.
How do I look?
Disturbing.
To passion.
To paradise.
To pain.
To night.
Make way for the birthday boy!
Thing, will you do the honors?
Thing strikes a match and lights a candle on a birthday cake. Joel and Wednesday sneak outside.
Family is really interesting. Your parents are so involved with each other. Wednesday, do you think, like, maybe someday you might want to get married and have kids?
No.
But what if you met just the right man who worshipped and adored you, who'd do anything for you, who'd be your devoted slave? Then what would you do?
I'd pity him.
Joel looks at a gravestone that reads, Debbie Jelinski Adams, wife and psycho. He drops to his knees.
Poor Debbie. She was sick.
She wasn't sick. She was sloppy.
What do you mean?
If I wanted to kill my husband, I'd do it. And I wouldn't get caught.
How?
I'd scare him to death.
No, you wouldn't. We're all very sorry, Debbie. We wish you only the best.
He goes to drop a flower on the grave. A hand breaks the surface and grabs his arm. Wednesday looks on smiling as Joel screams in terror. The end. Directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. Written by Paul Rudnick. Produced by Scott Rudin. Based on the characters created by Charles Adams. Starring Raul Julia as Gomez Adams, Angelica Houston as Morticia, Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester, Christina Ricci as Wednesday, and Joan Cusack as Debbie. Tag team reps, another party hit. It's the Adams family movie theme. Gomez, Morticia, come on, sing. Also starring Carol Kane as Grandma, Jimmy Workman as Pugsley, Carol Stoiken as Lurch, David Krumholtz as Joel, Christopher Hart as Thing, Dana Ivey as Margaret, and Peter McNichol and Christina Barinski as Gary and Becky Martin Granger. Audio description by Nathan Tanner. Audio described by Jack Seater.
something strange, something's funny. Nanny's got a plot to get the family money. Makes Festa fall for her. Thing it's wise, spreads the word. The family comes to Festa's aid. The plot is foiled, no one gets paid. It's the Addams family running things. Get wrecked while tag team slaying.
Addams family.
They keep it together, y'all, and that's it. They're not ordinary, just strange. Some say loco, insane in the brain. But you know that you love them. In a class by themselves, none below, none above them. It ain't nothing to be ashamed of. So give love to the folks who go by the name of
Addams Family.
This song's for the movie and the dance floor. Tag team always delivers the funk. From the old school with a bump for the trunk. And it humps with big bass on the low like my homie O said.
You gotta hear me though. Addams Family.
Do it any way you wanna.